Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final hour of the show for the week, and we've got a lot coming up in this hour. Mark Morehouse from the Gazette in Iowa City is going to join us in a few minutes. And then in the final half hour, Cam Meller from Pro Football Focus will join us to break down all the numbers. Shikellamy Holy Redeemer tonight in Berwick at 7. We're on beginning at 6:30 with Kevin and the Chief this evening. Lewisburg's on 100.9 The Valley and Eagle 107 tonight. We'll have Sealands Grove. Don't forget, tomorrow it'll be Bucknell and Colgate in Hamilton, New York tomorrow. That'll be on Eagle 107. Penn State football tomorrow night with Iowa at 6 o'clock the airtime, 7:44 the kickoff from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. Do it now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, plenty of them. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. They also have the garlic, which Buhner loves. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day. Last night, the Astros put a 4-spot on the board in the first inning against former State College Spike Tyler Glasnow. Then they got to the 8th inning last night with a 4-1 lead. And Michael Brantley and Jose Altuve go back-to-back as heard on Fox with Kenny Albert, A.J. Pierzynski, and Joe Girardi.
Brantley with a drive. Deep right field. 5-1 Houston.
They've been waiting for Brantley. He gets a fastball up and just clobbers it. Pagan, as the pitcher, nothing you can do but watch it sail over the right field wall. Brantley knew it. Don Kelly excited. First base coach Bregman. The separation is there.
The 3-1 to Altuve. And he throws this one. Back to back. Third of the series for Altuve. Homering for the third time in this division series.
Up, out over the plate, and he loves it, and he knows how to put it in the seats. It's easy for him to elevate that ball. He's got a flat swing through the zone, and he's had an unbelievable series. When we take a look at Cole, I mean, he understands each run that they tack on is so important. It gets them closer to what they want, and that's a game here on Saturday.
And they do have that game on Saturday. They'll take on the Yankees tomorrow in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Remember, Jose Altuve started the season on the IL. He did not join the Astros until June. What a difference he has made. He is just a terrific player. I remember him at Tri-City in the New York Penn League. And to be honest with you, I didn't really think, now you see a guy that's just developed into an absolutely tremendous major league player. Wow. Okay. Penn State and Iowa tomorrow. Kinnick Stadium, Iowa City. James Franklin yesterday in the team meeting went through a video presentation with his team, PowerPoint. He showed them the stripe out. He showed them the color rush uniforms that I was going to be wearing. He showed them the pink locker room. Now, see, this Jim Harbaugh, 2016, takes his team in. He instructs the managers to cover up all the pink walls and all the pink lockers with Michigan memorabilia. When you do that, you're already telling your team that you as the coach are freaked out by it. There's nothing to get freaked out about. It's a pink locker room. Who cares? Laugh at it and go play. James Franklin laughs at it, and tomorrow night they're going to go play. Now, this is going to be a little bit different. Mark Morehouse is with the Gazette in Iowa City. We'd asked Mark to be on the show. Mark said, I'll absolutely be on the show. And it turned out that he has a doctor's appointment right now. And Mark still is keeping his commitment to the show. So, off to the doctor's office we go in Iowa City. And Mark Morehouse of the Gazette, welcome. Thanks for joining us from such an unusual setting.
Yeah, actually, the doctor is an Ohio State fan, and he totally gets this. And he said, the room is clear. It's noon hour. Nobody's coming in. You're all good. So we're all good.
We're all good. All right, let's talk about Iowa. I want to start defensively where it has been all good. When you look at the Iowa defense, what are some areas that you see Phil Parker has been taking advantage of with his personnel?
It's been I would call what they've been doing sort of passive, and it's been working. I mean, this is an offense, a defense that throughout the years, Norm Parker before Phil Parker, the last 20 years basically under Coach Ferentz, has been a sort of a read and react defense, and that has kind of been the strength. I mean, they're bend don't break between the 20s. They're okay with giving up that flat pass for 8 yards as long as it's 3rd and 12. So they're giving up some yardage, but they're keeping teams out of the end zone and low, very low on the tackles for loss, very low on the sacks, but it's number 3 in the country in scoring defense, and that is the entire goal. So they're, the strength's there, defensive line pretty strong, stopping the run. They had some holes last week against Michigan in the middle. Defensive tackle was a problem last week. Linebacker's been solid inside, not so great in coverage. Defensive backs, they've had a lot of injuries. The starting safety left, he's out. I think he's basically been replaced. The guy who picked up for him, Jack Kerner, playing pretty well. Corner, they lost Matt Hankins. He might be back this week. I think it'd be really a good thing for Iowa. If they, last year they made some waves with the 4-2-5 defense when they had a cash safety named Imani Hooker. He was a Big Ten defensive back of the year. He left a year early. He's a Titan now. Iowa hasn't really had that guy, and because of injuries in the secondary, they haven't been able to get to 4-2-5. I think it would help them this week if they could get to that defense.
Which I want to bring up Geno Stone. He picked off a pass in the game at Beaver Stadium last year. He ran it back for a touchdown. He had a pick last week, and Pro Football Focus and their grade said that his area last week when Michigan played them was a 0.0 passer rating. Where has Geno Stone improved, and how important is he to what Iowa wants to do?
He's extremely important. He probably, if in a perfect world, if Iowa could use him as their cast safety, they would. He is sort of like Imani Hooker from last year. He's got the same build, the same football instinct. And last week, the big play he made last week was in the alley where he ran full speed. He didn't worry about chopping his feet or breaking down. He picked a shoulder. He made sure that it was a reverse and looked like there was going to be a big game there. Michigan had numbers. Geno cut through that, cut off the sideline, funneled them back, and made the tackle. It was a beautiful play. Kind of the play where maybe you think early entry here for this guy. He's in my opinion, he's playing that well. Kind of a quarterback back there, keeping things together, and very physical. I think now he's much more sophisticated in coverage, and they trust him high and low. And I think second best player in defense probably behind A.J. Epenesa.
Right, and I want to get to Epenesa next. I know Golston really, I thought, you could tell the confidence he gained in the bowl game was impressive, and I think he's played really well. But what about Epenesa? Let's start with the attention part. Has the attention that's been paid to him kept his numbers down?
Yeah, on third down, you know, running, they break, the opponent breaks the huddle. The running back immediately turns around, where's 94, and that's where he's lined up, or a tight end. But, you know, there's also Iowa plays run first, almost to a fault. And when it's 3rd and 6, you know, that's kind of that tricky down where, okay, what's your first move? Are you doing a pass move, or are you asked to play the run? I think
Right. Probably
half the time he's asked to play the run. So the sack numbers are down, but he's such a presence out there. Offense has given him a lot of attention. I think he still affects games immensely. Now, when he's getting affected like that, or when he's getting that kind of attention, a guy like Chauncey Golson needs to make some noise. He's getting a one-on-one run. Last week at Michigan was the first week, I think, where he showed that what he's capable of. I think he had two sacks. A couple tackles were lost. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys, against Iowa State and last week against Michigan, they played the whole way. Now, they're defensive ends, and you don't really want that. But Iowa's number two in the country in snaps faced. So it was only 60 snaps. It was only 55 snaps. It wasn't like 2017 at Kinnick Stadium between Iowa and Penn State when I think it was 101 snaps, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That blows my mind still.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think these guys are playing the run really well, and that's been an improvement in A.J. Epenesa's game. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that because it's not as cool as sacks. But, like I said, this defense is receiving right now. And as long as they're meeting the end goal of being a top 10 defense in the in scoring defense in the country, it doesn't matter.
Where has Nathan Stanley improved as a quarterback, in your opinion, through five games, and where has he plateaued?
Plateaued is, okay, where he's improved, I think, leadership-wise, he's hanging in there better. He knows. He doesn't, he projects to his teammates better. I think he's reading defenses a little bit better this year than he did last year.
Yep.
Making a little bit better decisions.
Yep.
And I would say where he's plateaued, he's not athletic. And last week, he's not as athletic as you'd want to be. He's a lot more athletic than we are, but he's not a Kyler Murray. And last week against Michigan, that kind of showed up. Did a lot of backpedaling, and boy, oh boy, Michigan linebackers are fast. They get there. I think one thing about Iowa last week, the internal clock this week will be much faster. Last week they saw a real pressure team, and they talked about this week in media day on Tuesday. They talked about how they could not simulate that speed in practice. I think now they have a taste of it. Now they might be a little more ready for it. I'm not sure how much Penn State blitzes, but Penn State obviously has one-on-one guys that, you know, Iowa's protection is based on one-on-one. You can't lose you have to win one-on-one battles. It'll be interesting this week to see Yetur against Alaric Jackson, who came back last week after spraining a knee in the opener. He was rusty.
Yeah, and that's what everybody says. He was rusty. And he's a quality. And it allows Wirfs to go back to the other side, which really helps. Look, there's no Hockenson, there's no Fant in this group. Has a guy like Tyler Goodson, the true freshman out of Suwanee, Georgia, has he helped make up in some ways as a back out of the backfield for not having those tight ends?
I think, yeah, that's where all the touches have gone. The running backs are coming out of the backfield more. Wide receivers are the top dog this year as far as receiving game goes, and Amir Smith-Marset and Brandon Smith have improved immensely from their freshman year. It's weird to see an Iowa team lean on its wide receivers and not its tight ends, but like you said, there's no number one draft picks at tight end this year, so those touches are going to the defensive backs. I think last week was a big week for Tyler Goodson, 77 total yards, a real factor in the receiving game. This week he moved up on the depth chart a little bit. He went up to number three, and that might not seem like a big deal, but I think that kind of opens the door for more Tyler Goodson, and he's already burned his red shirt. So I think against a team like Penn State, they need his speed.
Is a guy like Amir Smith-Marset somebody that they want to get as many touches as possible? I don't care whether it's returns, jet sweeps, getting him the ball. Is he a priority guy in the offense?
Absolutely. He's the fastest guy in the offense, the one that I think if he gets loose Saturday, he'll be the one who goes, okay, you got to cap that speed. He's got that. They do want to get him the ball. I think it's still kind of – he's not a big guy. He's only about 190 pounds in the running game in the reverse game, which he gets one or two a game. I think that makes him a little bit nervous. His first touch in his career was a reverse, and he fumbled. So they're still nervous about that, but he's improved immensely as far as getting off the line of scrimmage and fighting off the line of scrimmage, getting that release, and getting open. He's improved immensely. But you're right about tight end. I think last week in a game where, you know, Iowa had a chance, they ended up with a field goal. That's really where in the red zone is where they really miss Hockenson and Fant. I think Fant had set a record for tight end touchdowns at Iowa. That's noticeably absent this year.
Look, they're in a division where Wisconsin's off to a great start, Minnesota's off to a great start. I know this is only game six, and I know it's only game three in the Big Ten, but in some ways this is a line in the sand game for Iowa moving forward.
I think the West Well, if you look at where Wisconsin's headed, I mean, Wisconsin is the comet right now in the West that everybody's trying to catch. Wisconsin's schedule is a little tougher than Iowa's. And, you know, the crossover games, and people can, you know, debate this all they want, but I think the crossover games in the Big Ten, are real differentiators.
I completely agree with that. It's the first thing I look at when I look at schedules.
And Wisconsin still has Ohio State.
Yep.
And somebody else I'm blanking on right now, but they still have Ohio State. So let's assume a loss there. Iowa, if Iowa struggles and loses this week against Penn State, that's two. Wisconsin will have one. That sets up a heck of a match that first week in November for the Big Ten West, probably for the Big Ten West. And I think that's exactly what Iowa and Wisconsin fans want.
All right, so that is that. So based on the crossover schedule with Wisconsin, this is just a game that they just need to keep winning. Or if they lose, they're not completely damaged by it.
They're not out. But I'm sorry, excuse me. They're not out. They're not out. I'm sorry. Whoa. I lost my breath there. I'm at the doctor's office still.
That's okay. Fortunately, you're at a doctor's office, so it helps.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little dry.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought. But we were talking about
the race as if they were to lose, they would not be out of the race of the West.
Right. They would not be. But I think, you know, Iowa fans are starting to look at how they've done recently against ranked teams.
Yeah.
And running the ball, you know, Iowa is 1-7 against ranked teams the last 3 years. Running the ball in that span 2.4 yards a carry. The fan base needs a big win, maybe more than the team. I know that sounds weird because the team is the team and they're the ones actually out there, but the fans, they need something to kind of rally around. And, you know, I would say this, the James Franklin, it feels like to me, has Iowa's number, but, you know, you take the 41-14 in 2017, you throw that out. You look at, 2016, you look at 2017, 2018, those two games, I think those games are more representative. And I think that's what we're kind of headed towards Saturday.
Yeah, last possession games. Hey, Mark, we really appreciate it so much, and hopefully we gave the people at the doctor's office a really good show.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me on. And, I really appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you Saturday, Mark.
You bet. Take care, man.
Mark Morehouse, The Gazette in Iowa City. We've taken you to a lot of different settings over the nearly 8 years of the show. We've taken you to Melbourne with Patrick McEnroe from the Australian Open, Jason Tournament and others joining us from Sochi in Russia at the Olympics. We've taken the show to various locations across the United States. We've done the show from Mexico. This is the first time we've ever had a guest on the show from a doctor's office going through an exam. And we thank Mark Morehouse from the Gazette in Iowa City for joining us. We're going to have Cam Miller coming on the next half hour from Pro Football Focus to break down the numbers on Penn State and Iowa. We'll look at some specific players. Then we'll look at some other players across the country. Cam's going to, again, he's a regular with us now. He's going to be joining us, I think, next week. He's going to join us on Thursday next week. By the way, Tony Knopp will rejoin the show on Tuesday. We were going to have Tony on the show this past Wednesday. Something came up in Tony's schedule, so he had to reschedule. So we're going to have him on Tuesday. And guess what? Tony's going to be at the game, I believe, on Saturday next week here at Beaver Stadium. Okay, it's been quite a week. It's been quite a week. Penn State's 5-0. We talked about some of the great games. I mean, tomorrow's a great game, a great day for games. We talked about high school football tonight, Holy Redeemer and Shikellamy and Berwick. That's at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin and the Chief. And 7 o'clock kickoff, and then Sealands Groves on Eagle 107. We've got Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. Tomorrow, Colgate Bucknell on Eagle 107. And then, of course, tomorrow you have USC Notre Dame. You have Texas Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. You've got LSU in Florida, Alabama, Texas A&M, Clemson, Florida State, which doesn't have quite the cachet it once did, and Penn State and Iowa. 7:44 the kick tomorrow. We're on beginning at 6 o'clock from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Iowa always plays really well at home. But it's not as if Penn State has not been able to win in there. They have. Like the last two night games they played in there in 2012 and 2016, they won. 2012 with relative ease. 16 obviously was a struggle right to the finish line. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Are you terrified by your old ride? Don't fear. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Treat yourself to a nicer, newer ride from SFC. Choose from 12 2019 Hyundai Tucson's with $4,000 off, starting at $22,369. There's 17 Hyundai Konas in stock, starting at only $20,352. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has brand new Sonatas starting under $19,000. Plus, hurry in. There's 4 Hyundai Palisades in stock. And every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty.
10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
And Hyundai Assurance. Don't be terrified by your old ride. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week. It is so great to have you with us. Believe me, we don't take any one of you for granted on the show. We thank all the listeners, everybody that listens on the podcast, everybody that participates on the Facebook page with the likes and everything like that. You are greatly appreciated. And we also greatly appreciate great people like Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hey, it's time to stock up. Going to be a beautiful, beautiful fall weekend. It's going to be a great week. We're going to watch a lot of football. Maybe you want to watch the baseball playoffs, too. Astros, Yankees tomorrow, Nationals, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Interesting. Well, stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. That's at Brewers Outlet. Maybe you like water, soft drinks. Plenty of those. How about snacks? You have to make sure you have a full array of snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, even though Buhner prefers the garlic. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Boy, does Sunbury Motors get it done. Always have great deals. They have a tremendous sales staff to deal with, and they have a great product to sell, and a service department that will take care of you throughout the entire process along the way. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mentioned all the big games coming up this weekend. Oklahoma, Texas, USC, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Alabama, LSU, Florida, and to a lesser extent, Clemson, Florida. There's just nobody in the ACC that can challenge Clemson. There's nobody. That's the problem. Nobody can challenge them right now. Now, to their credit, they played Texas A&M in the non-conference because even Dabo Swinney knows that in his own conference, they don't get it done. They just don't get it done in their own conference. And they'll play Florida State. Years ago, that was a big deal. Now it's not such a big deal. But you got to play what's in front of you, and that's what they're going to do. And, of course, the game we'll have for you tomorrow night here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That'll be Iowa and Penn State from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And 6 o'clock will be the airtime tomorrow. And kickoff says 7:30. In reality, it's going to be 7:44. So you can go to get some of those great Brewers Outlet beverages and snacks right before kickoff, because we gave you a few extra minutes to do it. All right. Let's break down the numbers. Pro Football Focus does an incredible job breaking down the video and breaking it down and translating it into numbers. Very pleased to be joined and rejoined by Cam Meller from Pro Football Focus. Hello, Cam. It's great to have you back.
It is great to be back. In 2 weeks gone now, it feels like almost an eternity.
It does. I want to start out in the grades, and let's start with a redshirt freshman. Rashid Walker ended up grading out very well for you. What were some of the items that you saw in his game on that tape that gave you the grade he got?
So honestly, it's pass protection. For us, that always weighs very heavily. And that was where it was. And I think that's what I wrote up on our most recent team of the week. Doesn't allow a pressure. You got to love that. And actually, for the entire season so far, 2 quarterback hurries given up on about 140, if not over 140 pass blocking snaps at this point. So you're looking at a true stalwart of a left tackle right now for the Nittany Lions. And that's what really does stand out.
Right. And then Michael Mennett, you had him as the number 2 center as well for the particular week. Sean Clifford's numbers. When you're breaking down Sean Clifford, what are you seeing from him right now numerically?
It's kind of been this, I wanted to call him Sean Big Time Throw Clifford before the season started, because that's what we saw from him in limited duty last year. And right now it's just kind of been this, let's keep the offense in check, find the easy throws, find the wide open throws, and it's just been getting the ball to Hamler in wide open space. So it's not really a high, super high, crazy grade so far this season. It's just been one of those that's well above average and doing just about everything right, limiting turnover-worthy plays. And it's still, it's still a pretty good yards per attempt. Anytime you average over 10, it's great. Yeah. Anytime you average over 10.5, it's really, really good for college offenses.
I want to take somebody a little bit deeper for you. A lot of people ask about the 4 running backs here at Penn State: Noah Kane, Devin Ford, Journey Brown, Ricky Slade, and they're going to continue to be using the 4. Is there a guy grade-wise at that running back spot that's doing well on your board?
Yeah, it's Noah Kane, and I think it's just the way that he's doing it. It's kind of these missed tackles, but it's grinding out and eking out these first downs, leading the team in total rushing conversions, so not just touchdowns, but also in total first down carries, and that's really what's going to move the needle for us a lot, earning over 3.5 yards after contact per carry as well. So he's getting a lot of it done that way. Also, key aspect in our grading system is not putting the ball on the turf, which all of the guys have done a good job of limiting any sort of turnovers right now. So, I think it's Kane right now, though, that's leading the way with a near elite rushing grade.
I'll stay on the offensive side. What allowed Nick Bowers to emerge as part of the Big Ten team of the week?
It's yards after the catch. I think we've seen him with
he's got a few.
He's a rumbling, bumbling big guy. We've seen a couple of big guys, big tight ends that have actually added this yards after the catch ability. And for the season, Bowers right now is averaging almost 20 yards after the catch per reception. I know when you only have 5 catches, it's not that hard to do, but that's just kind of the microcosm of his game so far and what we've seen. 90 or 80% of his catches as well have now also moved the chains too, and that's it. Yeah. It's a reliable threat outside of Hamler, because if Hamler gets doubled, you got to look somewhere else. And if it's not the one tight end, it's the other. So that's I like that, and that's where he kind of stuck out though. That after the catch
and off the edge, a reliable threat for Penn State, Shaka Toney. It's not just the 3 sacks, but how important were the 8 total pressures for him so that he could stand side by side with Chase Young on the chart this week?
It's huge, and I think the race right now is always going to be on a weekly basis. If OSU is on the field, it's just whoever can get that second edge spot in the conference per week and who can be the second best Big Ten pass rusher, because Young is clearly leading that. But it's Toney, and it's a pass rushing win percentage too. That kind of will lead a lot to his grade and a lot towards what he's able to do. If a pass is out too quick, but he's his offensive player in front of him, we're going to credit him pretty high for that, because it's not always his fault that a sack or a pressure can't quite get there. So if he's beaten those players in front of him one-on-one, that's a huge number, and that's what we saw this past week.
Robert Windsor was in the top eight at defensive tackle. What allowed him to be in one of those spots?
His is kind of a little bit of both. He's got well above average grades in every facet, no missed tackles at all, which is big. Yep. Big guy needs to be able to bring down tacklers up the middle if he gets his hands on them. So he's got plus grades along the entire, every facet that we grade, and that's just what we saw as well. It's every game, actually. I don't think we've seen a negatively graded game from him at all this season, and he's got very few negatively graded plays to boot. So this is a guy who's limiting any sort of mistake on the defensive side from the interior.
Is a player that is on that path as well, despite what happened on the first quarter against Maryland, Micah Parsons?
Absolutely. I think right now, too, and we saw it last year from him, and I know it was documented how he played kind of out of position or didn't really have a said position last year. I think he's kind of, navigating towards that, or navigating at least towards his role. He's been a stout run defender. I think he's the best run defender actually on the entire team right now. So there's no missed tackles. And this is that's a metric that's pretty stable from year to year. And actually I'll throw it down to LSU, because Grant Delpit, we didn't have him very high on our list, even though he's a top five prospect across most people's draft boards, because he missed a lot of tackles. And this year he's missed a lot of tackles. Parsons right now, though, no missed tackles. So it's a very disciplined and great level of defense, elite level of defense right now that the Nittany Lions are playing, and he's on that list.
And that would include Lamont Wade. He had an 11-tackle performance against Purdue, so he was recognized as well by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, that was another thing. It's like stout but disciplined defense. They're going to bend, not break, but even so at this point, they're hardly bending. And Lamont Wade's not allowing a lot of catches into his coverage as well when he is the primary coverage defender, and he's sticking his nose in run defense. So, I mean, you got multiple stops in the run game against a lot of players, and you have guys limiting, yards after the catch to some talented receivers. I know, Purdue without Rondell Moore is a completely different offense.
No question.
But at this point, that's what you want. That's what you want everybody to do on defense, limit yards at any facet, at any level of play. And that's, in coverage, that's a big aspect.
Kim, let me flip it over to Iowa. Geno Stone, the safety, picked off a pass last year against Penn State. He ran it back for a touchdown. He also had a pick last week against Michigan. His grade was unbelievable, because if you have a 0.0 passer rating into coverage, you're probably doing pretty well.
You're doing pretty well, and that's where I think we say it's always the eye in the sky doesn't lie. The film never lies, and so we get to see all of those targets as well.
Right.
So if there's a play that he has beaten, but the ball doesn't get there, it's not his fault, it's not the receiver's fault, so we will downgrade that. But yeah, I mean, Stone's been, I think, the best coverage defender besides Michael I can't even pronounce it now because I'm not ready for him.
That's okay, Ojemudia.
That's it. See, I wanted to do MU and not mood. So there it is. Yeah, Stone's been their best player overall in coverage this season, and the 0.0 passer rating when targeted is going to be, that's indicative of coverage grade as well, and that's what we've seen from him.
The stats on AJ Epenesa are not even remotely eye popping at the moment. But is his grade really good?
Yeah, his is that other situation where we look at the pass rush win percentage. It's not anywhere near what we kind of thought it would be in a more featured role this season. I think he's already almost approaching his entire career snap threshold in just the five games. And so he hasn't quite lived up to what we thought the hype could be. He's still the highest graded player on their entire defense because he is winning those pass rushing snaps, but I think when you come in with that much hype, every offense is going to know you got to watch out for him, because he will ultimately get home with some wins and some pressures. So scheme the ball out pretty quickly, throw some checkdowns if he's got a decent matchup against one of your tackles. So he is winning a lot of his pass rushing snaps. It's just unfortunately for all Big Ten pass rushers, it's going to pale in comparison to Chase Young.
Yeah, no question. Where does Nathan Stanley rank for you right now?
Well, I did my quarterback rankings where I did all 130. And
yes,
Stanley,
you did.
He was, I wanted him out of the top 50, to be honest, but I slid him right in at 50 just because he's got that, the ability to go for five touchdowns that he's shown previously, but he's just not grading very well. He's not grading a lot of negative plays, but he's also just not moving the needle in a positive way. He's doing a lot of just expected throws. He isn't getting a lot of help. He's got 10 drops on his passes, but he's a little too quick and a little too gun-shy to throw the ball away this season. So he's not really forced the ball down the field, which is ultimately not going to grade very high. So he's very middling so far this season.
I'm going to venture out of the Big Ten for a moment. I want to get your opinion and what the film tells you and what the grade tells you about Jake Fromm of Georgia.
he's a guy, he's not been tasked to do a whole lot. This is an offense that...
No doubt.
I even saw a tweet, too, and it called that their offensive line is their biggest weakness so far this season, which they've allowed, I think, one sack and maybe four pressures between the starting five, or maybe even just one total pressure between the starting five. And so if that's your biggest weakness this season, then this is arguably the greatest team ever created. So, but Jake Fromm, I mean, he's dissecting defenses from a clean pocket, and he's kept clean for pressure just about every time he drops back to pass. So he really hasn't been asked to do much when you have a talented stable of running backs. But, you know, when he needed a couple of plays down the field, he made them. And I think he's only got five negatively graded plays. That's second best in the entire country. So he's putting forth these little small high grades, positive grades, and he's not having any dings on his grades. So he is actually the highest graded quarterback right now through 6 weeks.
All right. USC is going to play Notre Dame. What kind of, you know, Ian Book stepped in. He, you know, all this competition. He finally wins the job himself. Is he producing numerically?
It's interesting. That's another case of the we're not really so sure what we've seen, because
exactly.
He didn't fare very well against Louisville's
nope.
relatively decent defense. He didn't fare that well against Georgia, but he's put up five touchdowns against New Mexico, against these group of five opponents. So it's kind of like, where do you slot Ian Book? And right now, I mean, I think he's in the top 50 in overall grade, but passing grade's decent. But it's, again, it's one of those situations almost like a Nate Stanley, where it's like, we need to see a little bit more before we crown him anything better than just this kind of, maybe not system quarterback, because I think that's an overused
right.
term, but he's
yeah.
just this guy who's going to not move the needle too much, and he's going to allow his receivers to do a lot more damage than he's going to get credit for in the general box score.
So that's why I asked the question, because if you're going to be the quarterback at Notre Dame and you have some semblance of success, you're going to be like, oh, look at what the job Ian Book's doing. But I think you need to break a tape down even further on a guy like that to actually find out actually who he is and not just the label of what he is.
Yeah, and he's not really a high completion percentage kind of guy.
No.
A lot of his yards are coming after the catch as well. He has a couple of those big plays from that freshman sensational receiver, Javon McKinley. And Chase Claypool is great on the outside catching these kind of 50-50 balls. So I would like to see him kind of do what Justin Fields has been able to do and
yeah.
get a lot of his yards through the air just to, before we crown him any sort of dynamic passing quarterback.
Obviously, we've seen what Jalen Hurts has done at Oklahoma, but the opposite number is Sam Ehlinger. When you look at Sam Ehlinger, what are you seeing from him, and does he have enough, in your opinion, to keep Texas in this thing?
I think he does. I think the most underrated aspect of his game that people aren't necessarily talking about as much is how good of a runner he is on the ground when it breaks down. The Texas offensive line has exceeded expectations with
yeah.
you know, Parker Brown, the Georgia Tech transfer, who is, I think his high school offense was actually a triple option offense. So he has not had true passing sets until this season. So he's now this awesome pass blocking guard for them. So I think Ehlinger can do enough against a suspect cornerback group and safety group that the Sooners have, that I think this one turns into one of those moments where it's a closer game than I think the two touchdown or double digit spread that Vegas says because of Ehlinger. I think Ehlinger straps up, and you know, we saw him put multiple yards, almost 400 or whatever it was, against LSU.
Yeah.
So I think this is a guy who can put up enough numbers here to make this game competitive.
You have to watch every game, but is there a game or two that really piques your interest that you, at least on this particular day, can't wait to watch?
It's Florida-LSU. I do want to see right now the best pass-rushing team in college football as a whole is the Florida Gators in terms of pressure percentage, pass-rushing win percentage. And that right there is a win, because I think the LSU offensive line is about eighth in the SEC in terms of pass blocking grades. So I want to see those two units go at it. But if pressure does break down and get to Joe Burrow, he is by far the highest graded quarterback. He's thrown six touchdowns and no interceptions against pressure, has 151.0 passer rating under pressure. So Burrow will get the job done against pressure. And, you know, this at Florida State alum, it couldn't be happier if that is actually the case.
And by the way, right, words that you never thought anybody would say, but LSU leads the nation in points per game.
It is remarkable. It has been a true beauty to see Joe Burrow kind of grasp this offense. And, you know, we have him as QB2 right now on the draft board, but the big game against Florida, there's no doubt in my mind he could push Tua for, you know, the top quarterback spot next April.
It's amazing. And he left Ohio State.
All crazy.
Right. Hey, Cam, awesome as always. Really appreciate it very much.
Truly my pleasure. And again, look forward to it weekly here coming up.
Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus. Wow, does he break down the numbers? At least it gives you a different perspective. I think it adds into the information pool that we talk about all the time. I can see Gary Goloszewski right now breaking down the numbers. Gary wants all the information he can get his hands on. And he's typical of most of you out there. All right, what a week it's been. The firing of Gabe Kapler, what happened earlier in the week with the letter to Jonathan Sutherland, what happened with the HBO special. I have not seen the HBO special. I have not seen the HBO show. So I don't know really what's in it. I do know that James Franklin, I've been told it is a great, that you can't pay for this kind of publicity that the Penn State got from it. That's what I understand. But I haven't seen it, so I don't know what's in it. I mean, I saw them around all the time. And I believe it's re-airing a couple more times tonight on HBO 2, I believe. Something like that. All right. Holy Redeemer, Shikellamy. Tonight in Berwick at 7. Kevin and the Chief on at 6:30. Sealands Grove's on Eagle 107 tonight. Lewisburg is on 100.9 The Valley tonight. And Sean will have, without question, the best postgame show anywhere coming up tonight. Sean's show, outstanding. So please tune in for that. Then tomorrow, Bucknell is at Colgate on Eagle 107 with Doug and Kevin from Hamilton, New York, as Dave Cicchini's Bucknell team looks to break through. And then tomorrow night in Iowa City at Kinnick Stadium, the Nittany Lions will take on Iowa. 6 o'clock will be the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on WKOK.com. And kickoff will be right around 7:44. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We cannot thank you enough for not only listening today, but listening every day. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.